Everybody, good morning. What a great day it is for us today, and we're blessed in the house of the Lord, and I'm so grateful that you're here. Amen. Look at you guys. Sharp dressed people. There you are. Good. Good. Welcome home. Boy, it's quiet now, isn't it? Amen. Feel that, like the air lit out. Welcome our first time guest. That'll fill it up again. Come on, welcome our first time guest. Second time you came back home. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Be an honor to shake your hand. We'll do that quickly because of what's going on, but there are plenty of leaders in our room and just feel loved, and we're so honored that you're here. Out of all the churches that you could have gone to, because you passed about five or six, you chose to come to Living Faith Church, and we're blessed to have you. I know I passed about five churches that were great-looking facilities, but thank God for what's going on in the inside of Living Faith, right? Amen. We don't have all the answers. We don't claim it, but thank God that God is here, and God is touching our people today, and we don't want heaven with, we don't want to, thank God, we don't want to go on with church without God, amen? We want God in our church, right? Amen. We'll do whatever it takes for the atmosphere of God to be in our midst today. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and grow. Thank God for the people going in the name of Jesus today. Do you have your message notes handy? If you don't, raise your hand high. It's okay to raise them if you didn't get them, and an usher will get you those right now, but you got to keep them up, wave a hanky. Do something of faith. Amen. You got to do something. There they are. They got a couple of them. Man, we might run out. Amen. Thank you guys for getting that. These guys, our ushers, are great, man. They're like commandos. We drop them behind enemy lines and they come out alive. Amen. These guys are, they chew on nails and they spit out, you know, whatever. Amen. Thank God for them. Amen. Would you check in on your social media devices? You guys that have phones, you're on Facebook, Instagram, whatever other one you might have, Twitter, you'll see a locator there. Just tweet something or Facebook something and say, you know what, I'm at Living Faith Church, or take a selfie of yourself. I'll search it if it's on my Twitter, Instagram, and then Facebook, and I'll like it. Even this, here's what I'm going to do even this time, money back guarantee, even again, Sue Knife, I'm going to throw it. If you put a picture of yourself, I'll note it and say something because I'll mean it. I'll just say, if you take a selfie for the first today, amen, I'm going to make a big deal about it. You'll have somebody liking it. You know how you get that thing like nobody liked your post? You know, come on, somebody like it. Nobody liked it all year. If you do that this Sunday, I'll like it big time. Amen? So do that. See what you can do. And then finally, I was going to tell you something else. What was it? This couple of things that you need to know about. We're going to reach into our community and do a VBS like no other VBS. And a VBS is just where children come together and they learn about Jesus. And we've done it where we've done it in this sanctuary and the student center, and it's okay, but we've been that church that's been marked by that we leave the four walls, we leave the outside, because church really happens on the outside of the four walls. How many of you recognize that? This is just halftime. We come in here, we're winning, you know, and the coach is just saying, hey, we can go out and win the third quarter, fourth, we'll take it. Amen? And so what we're going to do this year is right before school starts, we're going to pick a strategic date. And in the evening, we're going to go to Marbach Manor apartment. It's a great apartment complex that they've invited us back. They want us to be doing something, actually, if we could, every weekend in reaching them. And we just don't have that manpower. We have the money because that's easy. We just need the going people, amen? And that's not to put anybody on a guilt trip, but let's do this for the honor and glory of Jesus. Let's go back into Marbach Manor and have a VBS second to none, amen? It's already kicked into this. We have plans of doing clothing for students and moms, and we also have plans for backpacks. We're going to do backpack giveaways, and we're also going to do food. Miss Helen's involved now with cooking, and that's a good thing, right, everybody? And so there'll be a team of people, and we'll see how it looks. But I need to have a quick meeting, because how many know you've been here since 8 o'clock in the morning and you want to leave? Not you, but some of us, amen? And that's been our band and so forth. They've been here. Our workers have been here early this morning. So we want to have a quick student in the student center. Just go quickly there and be there with me if you want to join in and help. We're going to need all sorts of help. Many hands make the load light. Right, everybody? Amen. Jesus went out of his church, out of his synagogue, and that's where real ministry began. It wasn't in the church. I noticed Jesus healing blind eyes on streets, feeding 5,000 people on a hilltop. And so what can we do when we leave the four walls? Amen? Amen. That's Living Faith, and I pray that you're part of it today. And finally, the second announcement is this. Scott Hinkle, who's a great, you can turn it in a minute. Amen. There you are. Scott Hinkle is a great evangelist that is like a father in the Lord at Christ for the Nations. Scott never gets old. He's coming for the very first time to Living Faith, and he'll be here next week. I'm going to sit on the front row and wave a hanky at him and amen and you know, do whatever he needs. But I want you to be part. Invite a friend next week to come to church with you. Scott Hinkle has a tremendous testimony of what God has done into his life, as how he goes in the streets and the highways and byways, and he preaches the message of salvation. You'll enjoy Scott Hinkle. He's a blessing, and so be part of that. Let's welcome the Facebook Live audience. Come on, them. Yeah, they. Come on, welcome them. Yeah, they've joined us, and we're so glad that you're here to be part. You get kind of a peek what Living Faith's all about, and there's nothing better, though, than being here in person. It's great to watch us, but if you're in San Diego for a church, this could be your church, and we'd welcome you here. And thank God for all of our brothers that are in Georgia, Florida, I think the states I've seen. So we'll continue to just shoot a note at us in the comment section of where you're watching, and that'll be a blessing, too. We'll comment on that. God bless you. Unlikely Heroes, our series is going to conclude today with a character that we're bringing out of the heavens and the grandstands of heavens. And she is a shero, not a hero, but a shero. And she becomes an extraordinary woman because of an act of faith, one decision that she made because she heard of what God was doing and she wanted to be part of that. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, on the big screen, I'm going to do something a little bit differently. So watch it. Somebody hit your neighbor and say, watch it. And then second choice, tell them, you better watch it. No. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, it says this. I'll do something a little bit different at the end, so you got to watch it. It says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their powerful, their faith. They were Abraham, no doubt about it. Old man, still had faith. Sarah, older and laughed at God, but still had faith. Jacob, Isaac, all them. Noah built a boat when there was just a desert, no rain. Powerful faith, right? Because they had a personal relationship with God, a heartfelt personal relationship, yet none of them received all that God had promised. What? All that stuff that they did? They made it into the Hall of Fame, faith, Hall of Faith fame. They were great people. And it goes on, and it's kind of, for God had something better in mind for us, that I'm included in their story, and so that none of them would reach perfection, somebody say, without. That's you and me. Isn't that amazing that we're included in the stories of Abraham, Isaac? Well, how? I'm going to tell you this. There's this thought in the Bible. When we got the Bible, there's where you need to watch it. You didn't get the Bible like they got it back when they used to read manuscripts. It was a continual letter. They would open up the manuscript and read the letter from Paul. They would read it from the Isaiah. It was when we got these Bible scholars that broke it down into chapters according to what content there was right there. So good English teachers, you know what I'm talking about. So the continuous thought would be this next scripture, because it ends at 40 and turns into Hebrews chapter 12. There it is, chapter 12. It says this, therefore. And you know what therefore means in the Greek? Therefore. Amen. Means therefore. It means now that we got all this perfection, or all these people that they're not going to reach it without us. Therefore, this is what we, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, they're all cheering you on. They're all saying, come on, go, go, go. Have you ever noticed in an auditorium or a stadium, you can't hear one distinctive voice? What would we do if we'd had that mama come down and say, son, did you hear me yelling? No, mama, I didn't hear you yelling. What if we had Mary come down or Rahab come down and run a lap with you on the field and say, this is life's secret. This is a way I would have done it if I'm facing what you're facing, because I've gone through some difficulty and this is how you can win in life. They knew that life would be difficult. It says to throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run. Come on, say run. Not walk, not crawl. You got to run your race. I got my race. You got your race. Amen. We're headed towards the same direction. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the finish line. We're going to embrace our Savior one day, our beautiful Savior. Let us run with perseverance. Not going to give up. Amen. When we're a teenager, we're not going to give up in our 20s. We're not going to give up in our 40s. How about in our 70s? Amen. No, the best years are ahead of us. 80s. I got to include everybody. Give me a good amen. Amen. And God, if there's somebody here in their 90s, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's a race marked out for us, and there's perseverance. And you got your race that's marked out, uniquely designed just for you by God. I hate traffic. How about you? When I'm on 1604, why is it that I'm trying to get to my journey and I have my app that told me that that was a shortcut or something happened? And everybody's reporting around me that there's no police, so I can go the speed limit in the name of Jesus, right, everybody? And I'm able to go. And then why is it that when I get in that traffic jam, that my lane always is at gridlock and stops all the other lanes, the other two lanes, because three-lane highway, but my lane is stopped. And so finally, I lose patience a little bit, and I said, you know, I'm going to veer out of traffic and try to, you know, get into that other lane. And you know, I kind of do that quick lane, and they have to stop. And then I get in that other lane, and I'm moving, man. I'm moving. Finally, I'm moving. Amen. They're still stuck in that lane I once was. But then all of a sudden, my lane stops. Does that ever happen to anybody? All the brothers. You're in my car, I guess, right? Yeah. Yeah. So how will your journey finish? Will it finish with an ultra course that you, Waze has found a new way, or Google Maps has found a new direction that you can take? I kind of hope that, again, we get God's GPS system in our lives today, that God would even alter some things. How is your life going to finish right now? Say, not too good, not the way it's been going. God should write your story. Rahab was a woman that her life was probably disappointing. And if she was here, she'd come down from the grandstands of heaven. She said, you know what? My life was disappointing at one time, but I let God rewrite my story. I made a course correction, and God sent me a new way. And it was the way that I never thought in my wildest imagination, because God was that good to me, that my life would change. My life should be better. Rahab was saying at this point that we find right in the Old Testament today. Do you know that God has written your life story? Everybody in this room? He really has. The Bible says in Psalms, all my days were written. God wrote that. And it says in Hebrews that he's the author and perfecter of our faith. It says in Ephesians that we are his workmanship, which means in the Greek there, we're his poem. So God rewrites our story, right, everybody? God can write our story. I know if you've been like me, cabezudo, which just means hard-headed, I've written some chapters that didn't belong. I know I'm the only one. Y'all need to pray for me. Yeah, some of y'all are being honest. You're in church, right? Don't be sweating in church, right? Like, wow, he knows my stuff. No, I'm just meant to hang in there because I'm... No, give God the pen like Rahab did and let him write your story, because he writes a beautiful story today. Your story, if you're breathing in this room, and that's everybody I'm looking around right now, we don't need to clear, you know, we don't know when to wake you up today. Rewrite. God can rewrite your story, and he'll give you a magnificent story. It will be an end like you never could imagine today. He has a dream for your life today. If someone like Rahab with a bad past as a prostitute could be included in the generational blessings of Jesus in the lineage of Christ, what can God do in your life? He doesn't discount you today. He has a great story for your life. There are three life principles that I have that are short here, but they're good. They're found in the story of Rahab today. And number one is this. Here we go. God searches for you to be in his story. Again, put the pen in God's hand today and initiate the process. I surrender all. Amen. Here you go. All to Jesus. I surrender. Let Jesus rewrite your story today. Amen. Sinners receive Jesus, not those that deny their sinfulness. Sinners know that they're sinning, and that's why they ask for you are, as a Christian here, you are convicted, and that's why you say, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have had that attitude. I shouldn't have been angry. I shouldn't have shouted at my wife. You should have not, you know, poisoned him, woman of God. Amen. In the name of Jesus. No, forgive me, Lord. He got healed. Amen. I tell Irma, if you ever want to poison me, do it with chorizo mexicano. Amen. Because I love chorizo mexicano. Amen. And she can, I would love to eat that and die. Amen. In the name of Jesus. She was here for the first service with her mom, and that's another story, but God's good. Amen. So you can say, where's Irma? She was here for the first service. Amen. And then she left. Give me a good amen. So the gospel is really for sinners. It's not for people that don't. The good news isn't for people that have it all together. Amen. It's for living faith. Amen. So God came looking for us right in the middle of our mess, in our darkness, and God comes with this light in his hand and his love towards us. He said, come on, I'll show you the way out. Come on, let me take that pen and let me rewrite your story. And so Rahab is found in Joshua chapter 2. You can turn in your Bibles to that, your instruments that you have, but it'll be on the big screen. Joshua chapter 2, are you there with me? There it is. It says, then Joshua secretly sent out two spies. He learned from Moses not to send a bunch of spies out, not to have a committee meeting, Because everyone in a committee meeting, you get 24 people, 12 people around the table, everyone's going to have a different opinion on how to get it done. Amen? And everyone's going to see this or that. But he said two spies. Only two. Somebody say two spies. Yeah, from the Israelite camp at the Cedia Grove. And he instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. And so he sent the two men out, and they came to the house of the prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there the night. See, Rahab wasn't searching for the spies. Spies were searching for her. God is searching for you today. Some of you today, God's coming after you. This is that moment of favor. You've known all your life that God had a call on your life. That's why you're at the church. You're trying to do something today, and God's coming after you today. There are wrong people that are in your life, and there are right people in your life. And all of us have had both. We know it. We can have a testimony time that would take hours in this room for the wrong people that set you up and hurt you. But God wants to put the right people in your life. Somebody give me a good amen.
Amen.
Wrong people will hurt you. And that's why it says, you know what? I'm never, because they wrong me so much, I'm never going to church again because they hurt me in that church. But how many know that church can be also used for people that might have a better attitude, that God would put the right people in your life?
Amen.
See, I'm thankful for the people in this church. Amen. I could have shrunk back because who hasn't been hurt by a church? You think you're the only one? Everyone in this room probably has been hurt by a church. Because that's the way it is. And you maybe even been hurt by this church. But here you stand. Give me a good amen. Here
amen.
You sit. Amen. I could tell you my story. You could tell me your story. But don't give up on the church. Amen. The local church is the light of the world. Amen. That's why Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. One person going to heaven knows the Bible. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen, because it's going to go on. And there are wrong things that happen, wrong people, but the right people are usually in church. And thank God for right relationships, right?
Amen.
In the book of Revelation, it says this, that God gently knocks on the door of our heart, Christian, because he wants to have intimate fellowship with us. And God could beat the door down and kick it down because he's that mighty. But God, that moment of favor, hey, would you open the door, Bob? Would you open the door, Mario? Would you open the door, whatever your name is right now? Because I want to come in. I want to rewrite your story. I'm searching for you right now. I want to there's a calling on your life. God's coming after you. Amen today.
Amen.
So it's time to move up. Time to go to the next level. You know God's called you to lead. God's called you to do something. It's time to lead now. God has a great plan for your life. Rahab would tell you something. You know, God invites you to a story, so join him. Be part of the story. Amen. Rahab, as she lets the spies come in, the king of Jericho hears that this mighty people named the Israelites who went through the Red Sea and the waters didn't crush them and they went on dry land, how God provided for them in the desert and how they walked out of Egypt and took plunder with them. The king of Jericho finds out in this walled city, says, you know what, they're coming, these people are coming. And now we've heard that they've sent two spies. He finds out that there's two spies, and they go to Rahab's house, and they go, we know that you're hiding them. Where are they at? And he says, I don't know where they went. She lied in the name of Jesus. It's a good thing. Amen. I lied, but because I didn't want her to know I'd already eaten dinner. Amen. Because I didn't want to eat her dinner. And that lie is wrong. Give me a good amen. You want to lie that way. Amen. I went, you know, I lied. I didn't go there. No, if there's a redemptive purpose like Rahab have, which is very, sometimes never happens except in the Bible, then you don't need to be lying. Give me a good amen. Some of y'all lie just to lie. Amen. You don't know you lied so much you believe it's true. Give me a good amen. So she says, you know what? I don't know where that, and they were hiding out. Then that moment of escape, just like you saw in the media that we just showed you, she said, remember me when you come back. And you know what Rahab did? Rahab didn't ask for riches. They could have given her all some of the loot that they got from Egypt. They could have given her some land when they come into the promised land. They could have given her a title. She didn't want any of that. You know what she wanted? She says, all I want is when you come back, listen to me. She says, I want my household to be saved. I want my home. I want my father, my mother. I want my brothers and sisters. I want my children to be saved. That's a good thing to ask of God, isn't it?
Amen.
beyond any riches, that your household would be saved today. Amen? And so salvation came to us all in this room at one time. And you were bought by the blood of Jesus. And many of us, like myself, I bought into it because I wanted fire insurance. I didn't want to go to hell. Because they scared the hell out of me, I got saved, right, in that church. And I said, I got to come to Jesus. I don't want to face the devil and the sulfur smell and all that stuff for all of eternity. When I made my confession of faith to Jesus when I was 13 years old, I remember when I woke up because I received Christ at night. I woke up in the next morning, and you know what happened, man? The sun was brighter. The day was better, all because Jesus came into my heart. How about you today? Amen? Amen. Remember that moment. Amen. In Luke chapter 9 on the screen in your handout, it says this. Would you read that together with me? Let's read it on three. Are you there with me? Yes?
Amen.
Amen. On three. Read it together out loud, not out soft. One, two, three. Then he said to them all, whomever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. Follow me. Yeah, I'm gonna do what I have to do and do about me, and it's gonna be about me. Well, you're trying to save your life. But it says if you lose your life for my sake, the gospel's sake, and you deny yourself, in other words, you go to the electric chair, you take the lethal injection every day because I'm following Jesus. And at that moment, at the rabbi of Jesus, his disciples, when he said, may the dust of the sandals kicking up, because there's no street improvements, no transportation improvements, all the dust in the air, may the dust of Rabbi Jesus be on you, because that's how close. I'm going to run into you, Jesus, if you stop, because I'm that close to you. I want to do everything. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to say what you say. I'm going to act like you, because I'm going to follow that close to Jesus. Amen. Deny yourself. You follow Jesus. Amen. God loves you so much that he died for you. But God doesn't want you to stay the same. He wants to, this thing called discipleship is what's it about. You follow Jesus. You follow him as a disciple and things change. Amen. I used to fall asleep in church, but now I don't. I won't. I stay awake now. Amen. I don't know who it is, but they're in the restroom, because I go in the restroom a lot, amen, at Living Faith Church. It's my office. Give me a good amen. I see that three-hour bottle of energy in the trash can every Sunday. And God bless our band. They're here at 8 in the morning. Give me a good amen. I don't know. I'm not calling anybody out, but they got to stay awake. Give me a good amen. And they take energy, and hopefully their heart is not racing too much. Give me a good amen. Give your life to God, because he can do your life much better than you can. Amen. Come on, Dad. He can do it much better than you can. Students in this room, young people, God can do it much better than you can. Mama in this room, Grandma, he can do it much better than you can today. Amen. You're a businessman, business person in this room. He can do your business much more better than you can. Give him the pen today. Let him rewrite your story. It's a whole lot of better story with God today. The second thought is this. God always makes a way for us to be in his what?
Story.
The rewrite begins with God as the author. The spies tell her, don't tell anyone that we're here. And they don't find them. And again, it says this in Joshua chapter 2 on the big screen. It says this, verse 17. Before they left, the two spies told her, we are bound by an oath that we have taken if we follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave the scarlet rope, the blood of Jesus hanging, which means the blood of Jesus in the New Testament, hanging from the window from which you let us down, that same window. And it was much larger than this today, because it was a rope today. But this is what we got. Amen. And so the family members, all your family members, your father, your mother, your brothers, all your relatives must be, somebody say, inside the house. I can imagine that apartment, because it was built within the city walls. Chariots would ride up and down it because they were a fortified city. And it was probably not much bigger than this one-room studio apartment of the stage today that we're on today. And so everybody was there. Your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your cuñado, amen. Your primo showed up, amen. Crazy Carlos showed up, amen. Who's he? How did he show up? He didn't bring anything to eat. Well, he just came. He was part of the family. Give me a good amen. We welcomed him, right? He's the weirdo of the family, amen. Does anybody have a weirdo in their family?
Amen, yes.
If you didn't raise your hand, you're probably the weirdo, amen. Nobody weird in my family, Pastor. Yeah, you're it. Amen. It says this, everyone was in the house. Amen. And if you betray us, however, we are bound by that oath anyway. I accept your terms, she replied. Rahab replied that, her words. And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. The blood of Jesus was on our home. It's a forerunner, a foretaste of what Jesus would do on the cross for us. It says in Acts chapter 16, not in your notes, hear the word of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved and everyone in your household. Jesus died for our sins. The scarlet rope represents the blood of Christ in our homes today. And when he told her in some of the translations, it said to bind it on the window, which means just don't put a little dab scotch tape over it to try to hold it. Bind it, which means you nail it in there. You get it in there so stuck that it's not going to come out. And so I can imagine the scarlet thread was probably tied or very well secured, so there was no way that it could be undone. And every day the rules changed in the house from that moment on. She had to make sure it was bound, it was stuck there in the house so it wouldn't be moved today. And the rules had changed in that house. I can imagine Rahab waking up every morning and seeing, is it still there? Because they're coming. I know the armies of Israel are coming. Is it there? She'd wake up in the night and look and make sure that the blood, the scarlet rope was still there. She probably had to tell the children, I know y'all used to hang out and play and get near this window. I don't even want y'all near the window anymore. Y'all don't come close because something might happen. I want to make sure that it's there. Do y'all have any rules like that in your house? If you go there, if you get that, you're in trouble. You're going to die. Amen. Just don't go there. Keep it there. And she was that because she knew what the cost and she knew what it would bring to her household, the blessing it would bring. And if it was removed, the blessing wouldn't come. I think of the blood of Jesus that's on our homes. The enemy wants to take our children. The enemy wants to take our grandchildren and lay a right on them. And if you're saved right now as a mama, if you're saved right now as a dad, you have a blood right over your children today. Amen. They may go straying a little bit, but there's something within them. See, you cover them in the blood and the mercy of Jesus every morning. It takes some effort waking up every day and making sure that the blood is on your home, the blood of Christ. It's what's missing maybe right now. You know that Washington, D.C., Hollywood doesn't infiltrate my home or the attitude of it? Well, I wish the government was better. I wish Hollywood wouldn't produce those skin flicks or that R-rated movie and mess up. No, you know what? You have a choice today to have the attitude that you can turn off the TV. You can tune out what you don't want on your internet feed. You can look away. You can cancel it out. You can exit out and drop it out. We bring the devil into our home. Washington doesn't do that. Hollywood doesn't do that. You can turn it off. You can get another, whatever. Get that cuss-free TV. Amen. They have it. Amen. And I think that Rahab set the atmosphere spiritually of her home from that day forward. She wasn't the prostitute of the city anymore. She was setting the atmosphere spiritually. This is what's going to go on in our home now. It wasn't perfect because she came from a bad past. There was redemption. Somebody say redemption. So she was a work in progress. You know what? Instead of arguing and raising our voices so loud that the whole neighborhood hears it, we're going to talk quietly in the room now. Did y'all come to my house and have the window open like we did yesterday? Amen. Now, we're going to shut the window when we want to fight. Give me a good amen. The police aren't always going to come over. They're going to come over somewhere else. Give me a good amen. We're going to work things out because the blood of Jesus is now in our home and there's not going to be so much drama. Give me a good amen. And so she had to pray for them. She had to claim rights on her children. And so you have to do the same. I noticed that the spies gave her something to do. You have something to do as a Christian. She had to bind the cord on the window. They said, let me do it for you. Let Pastor put it up for you. Let him come over and cast out all the devils on your children. No. She had to bind the cord. There was no youth pastor. There was no children's minister. She had to bind. She had to do. In other words, you got to do your part. Amen. 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 You have to do your part. You're the greatest youth pastor that your children will ever have. You got to do your part. Get in there. Pray for your children. Fast for your children. If they're going off the way, get in there and pray. Amen. Once there was a time that we didn't have rules or we didn't have guidelines, but now, amen, we set the spiritual atmosphere in our home, and that doesn't go on anymore in our home. Amen. From this day forward. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so thank God for the blood of Jesus that we're in agreement today that brings us the agreement that we need. When the walls came tumbling down, the Bible says her apartment, her little 4x4 studio thing, was the only thing standing. Can you imagine all the walls of this great city being collapsed in that one strand apartment being out, and they stick their head out the window, we're here, we're okay, come get us, amen. And they got the salvation from that moment forward. They were redeemed people today, amen. Amen. If there is, your life is on the way to destruction, there's only one way out, and that's the blood of Jesus. Only Jesus can save you, the blood of Jesus. Not another degree. You say, my life, you know, it's turning out this way. Well, another husband won't help you. Another wife won't help you. Another degree won't help you. A new job, nothing. If it keeps getting worse, turn the darkness into the light of God. Apply the blood to your story today. Amen. Amen. Rahab would tell you, you know what? I never imagined that me as a prostitute of this city would be in the lineage of Christ. How could me be redeemed, because that's the way God is. Amen. She was shocked today. And that just shows to show you there's no barrier. There's no wall, because God's love is so relentless that it pushes through and it keeps pushing through. Because it's so, God's love is relentless when it comes towards someone that he's searching for. Like it was our lives, how much he loves us. Nothing will keep him back from you, because that's how much he's crazy in love that he is with you. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Message Bible says this: we don't have a priest that is out of touch with reality. Yeah, he's been through it all. He's been through weakness and testing 40 days and 40 nights. The devil fought him. He experienced it all. He went to a cross, all but sin. And we experience the sin. And let us walk right up to him, because we can. Amen. Going up to Jesus and say, because he's so willing, he's not, oh, you again, you need mercy again. No, it says, take the mercy. You need help again. Man, that friend that keeps asking you for 20 every week, or brother, can you buy lunch because I forgot my wallet? That's not Jesus. He's willing to pay it. Give me a good amen. Amen. That's Jesus, not us. Give me a good amen. Amen. You'll get that at 3 a.m. Oh, yeah, what did he mean by that? Amen. Jesus, take the mercy, because he can give it. Amen. Accept the help. He just doesn't stop there. God just doesn't. Well, I'm going to put a Band-Aid on him. God just doesn't stop there. 3.3 in the story. God's story always has a what? Are y'all here this morning? Just making sure, because they were saying at the other church, I could hear them better. Amen. Down the block. Amen. A redemptive ending. No, I got to get my act together, preacher. I got to get my act together before I go serve in children's ministry. Before I become the next youth pastor of Living Faith Church, I got to get my act together. No, do you know we're all in the same hospital? Spiritual hospital. Did y'all get that? Amen. Some of us, you know, I'm in the same hospital that you're in. I still need to get my act together. Amen. Yeah, and I'm just in the hospital bed and I'm waving at you. Are you going to eat that Jell-O? Because I'm a little bit better than you are. You can eat it. And you give me your Jell-O. I'm just a little bit better. But everyone has their stuff and their mess. And if you wait till you get your act together, you're never going to have a redemptive ending. You got to get on with this thing, right? You know what? Your message is usually your message. All the mess that you've been in, I've been all, you know, with all these men, I've been with all these women. Well, you've been a player. That's your message. You should be that one that says, you know what? Anyway, you write the book. Amen. God blesses you to be a blessing. Amen. You finally get up and you still have the IV and you're walking around. The gown is closed. Amen. But you're a blessing to somebody. Yeah, I am. There was a precious lady here after the wonderful ladies' breakfast that they had for all the ladies of faith. Everyone was invited to. All the ladies were. There was the men of faith were working on. Some of them were working on to get the building ready, the closet ready. And so they're building a ramp so we get it passed by the city. And a lady of faith, after being here and probably cooking and setting up, she said, "Those men need to eat. And I have money." And the church could have paid for them to go to Bill Miller's. But she saw it in her heart. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And she brought back a family order, a bunch of Bill Millers, and they ate. Amen. You see what you missed out. Amen. On. She blessed people. And that's where you come to, from not hurting people to blessing people. Amen. Amen. And that's where we all are in, that finally I'm going to be a blessing to people because I've stopped hurting people. And I can be a blessing to people. And that's why we get saved today. So your mess is your message. Look at what disqualified some of the Bible greats. Abraham was old. He should have been disqualified. Jacob was insecure, right? Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses not only murdered a man, but he kept stuttering. And God still used him. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. David had an affair. He was also a murderer. And he was an adulterer. And he had all sorts of family problems. And God still... Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was bipolar, depressed. Naomi was a widow. Peter was impulsive and had a hot temper. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several marriages that had failed. Doubting Thomas was called that because he doubted, right? Paul had a haunted past, and Timothy was timid. That's why they named him Timothy. All these misfits God used. So what's your excuse? Why can't God use you in your mess? Rahab was a whore when she was used by God to extend the scarlet thread. She was still a prostitute. Should I floor it now and go forward? Yes, amen. Y'all tell me to keep preaching. Or is it quiet in this Baptist church? Why can't God use a high school full of sinners, full of kids, and change them for the glory of God with this church being used? Because we've been so blessed. Why can't we be a blessing to a bunch of kids that are rebellious sometimes? Some of them, just some of them, because there's some good kids there, right? Why can't God change a community that's filled with darkness because we're the point of light? Why can't we do that today? What has the story been written on zip code 78227? No, because we're here, right? Amen. And we should be a blessing today, amen, a redemptive. We should redeem more than we can ever imagine, amen. Well, I just want to go to church. And that's all I want to do, and I'm not going to do anything great. No, you're meant to do something great in your life. You're meant to redeem people, amen? Amen. There are 42 generations beginning with Abraham that give the lineage of Jesus. And you know, in Matthew 1, there's all these begats. This guy begat that, begat that, begat. And usually you run through them pretty quickly because they're kind of boring, and you just want to get to the Christmas story. Well, Matthew does something that's a little bit different. And I ask, Matthew, why did you do that? When I get to heaven, maybe. No, Matthew does something that's interesting. In Matthew 1, 3, are you there in your handout today on the screen? It names 42 generations from Abraham all the way down. And all of a sudden, Matthew inserts four grandmas of Jesus. Why did he stop with the men and insert the women? I'll tell you why he did that. Let's read the scripture. Here he goes. Judah, which was the father of Perez, which proves there's Mexicanos in the Bible. Give me a good amen. Y'all like that, right? Amen. And whose mother was Tamar. And there's this awful history of Tamar. If you read her story, go to Genesis, find it. You'll read some drama. You'll read something. That's why you shouldn't do drugs. You should read the Bible. Amen. Don't do drugs, read the Bible. There's enough history and drama in the Bible. It's better than a novella. Give me a good amen. Amen. Don't watch a novella, read the Bible. Solomon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was? They finally gave the sister a break. They stopped calling her a prostitute for one verse. They went, "You're the prostitute, you're the prostitute." She escaped her past for this one verse, amen. Whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, which was the father of Obed, which was the mother of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. And the Moabites didn't worship. They were outsiders. They didn't worship the one true God. And so it shows that somebody from the outside. David was the father of Solomon. And look at this. Poor Bathsheba, they didn't even name her. They said it was, she was Uriah's wife. Because they didn't have the, Matthew didn't even want to go there because it was such a stench on that name that we're not going to even name her. And so with all these people, these four grandmas, Tamar, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Rahab, there's something that God wants to tell you right now. Why did Matthew include them? Because Matthew was a tax collector, and he was involved in organized crime. He was in the mafia of that day. He would take the take and count more and say you owe more money, and he would be a payoff for the Roman government. And he was involved in all. And so if somebody can use somebody with an organized crime that has a bad background, I think he could use these ladies. Matthew wanted to make sure that they were inserted because God can use anyone with a past. Amen. And so if you're like Tamar and you have to be forgiven from the darkest of sin and you have the closet that doesn't want to be open, you can be forgiven because Tamar was found in the lineage of Christ. If you're like Rahab and you have a bad past, you can be forgiven of your bad past today. God can include you like Ruth if you just say yes to him today. Amen. And God can heal you of any situation because he did with Bathsheba. And he did, right, everybody? God can turn your story around. So Rahab gets rescued and gets to come out of her one-room studio apartment with her family. And she goes into the promised land and shop gets set up. And she goes, you know what? This would be a good place for a brothel. This would be a good place for the little best brothel in Texas. I mean, in the promised land. I can set up shop again. There's going to be men again all around. There's going to be people. And, you know, I can find a pimp again, and he can just set me up. No, you know what? She walks out of that hell that she was once in, that one room that stood, and she walks into the promised land, and she receives mercy. She receives grace from God, and she gets a new story and a new beginning. She marries Solomon. And Solomon was known in the Bible as the prince of the of Judah, of Jerusalem. He was the architect of Jerusalem. He was one of the fathers that built Jerusalem. He laid it out and was a city planner. In other words, he was the prince of the city. And the brother had a job. She wasn't going with somebody that didn't have a job. Somebody say, get a job. Amen. And so she escapes all that misery, that great idolatry that was in that city. And she says, now I'm not going to serve the gods of Jericho. I'm going to serve the one true God. And she had her story rewritten today. Rahab would say, with the story that she had in the past of her beginning and how blessed she was, she would give us these words of encouragement. Rahab's words of encouragement. God signs his name to your story. And so we ought to thank him. Amen. We ought to thank Jesus for his blood. We ought to thank him for the blood that is upon our home, the blood that came over our lives, the blood that healed us, the blood that by the stripes of Christ has given us new life and given us a new beginning. The benefits of the blood are all over us. And not only let get on me, Jesus, but get on my family and rewrite my family's future, rewrite my son's future, rewrite my daughter's future, because the blood of Jesus is that way, right, everybody? Amen. Timothy received a letter from his father in the Lord, which was the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul told him this thought. He said, you know what? This is the thought. Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
Timothy 1:15. This is a trustworthy statement or thought. Everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus, who came into the world to who? What? To what? What did he do to come into the world?
Sinners.
Save sinners. Yeah, save sinners. But look at this. This is an interesting thing. I underlined it. I am the worst of them all. It's not the guy watering the grass right now that should be at church. It's not the guy watching the NFL channel, the NBA channel, whatever. It's me. He's not the worst sinner. The guy that you saw on the news last night that did all the wrong, though, I'm the worst of them all. But God. But God.
But God.
But God, but God, but God had mercy on me. God had mercy on me. And so he called Christ Jesus that I could be used as a prime example that once I was lost, but now I see with great patience even the worst of sinners. How Jesus had great patience with you and I, didn't he? Then others will realize he did it for him. He did it for Nava. He can do it for me. And they can believe in him. They can believe because of what God did in his life. They can believe in him. Believe in Jesus and receive eternal life. And this is why it's for it. Well, now we clap for him. Nava, he did. No. This is why. This is why right there. You got it wrong. You got it wrong. He said, all honor and all glory be to God forever and ever. He went to the cross. He died for my sins. The King Eternal, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen and amen and amen. Yeah, Rahab would say, I was a prostitute in a city, but now I'm one of the great, 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 great grandmothers of Jesus. Only God can do that. Amen. Yeah. Let's bless the word of the Lord. Bless the word of the Lord. Bless the Holy Bible. There are unholy people in the Bible, but the Bible's still holy. There are unholy people in the Bible. There are unholy people in Living Faith. There are unholy people on Facebook right now, but God is still holy. Amen. And he can redeem your past today. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, we bow. We close our eyes right now. No one moving around too much right now. This is an important moment in your history. It's your moment of favor. We close our eyes and we bow our heads right now. Father, touch the people of God. If there's something that they're going through of the past as Christians right now, as God's children, I pray that they would be redeemed, that there's a redemption. The story's not over. Rewrite, Lord. They're realizing right now that they can say yes, that they can give you, they can initiate. They have to do their part. They hand over the pen right now. If that's you right now, do it demonstrably. Just as an act of faith, do something in the natural that's taking place spiritually. Hand the pen. Say, Lord, take my pen. Take the pen. Rewrite. Lord, I wrote enough chapters on my own, and it's a nightmare. I want a love story now. I want to rewrite. Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. As I conclude right now, I want to always give you an opportunity. We're staying in prayer right now. No one looking around. No one. You're in this room today, and you're far away from God. You have a past that won't escape you today. How could God ever? God can save you. I need to become good enough. No, you'll never become good enough. You should realize that. The quicker that you do, someone that was perfect paid a price for all your sins today. If that's you in this room, no one looking around today, would you lift your hand slightly? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to note your hand right where you're at. God will visit you right there in that seat. I'll lead you in a prayer from the platform. You'll pray the prayer. You'll receive Christ as your Savior. If that's you today, you're far away from God. You need Christ in your life. Would you lift your hand slightly and say that to me? Include me in the prayer. I want to say yes to Jesus. God bless you. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Someone else making sure? You can put your hand down, my brother. Someone else? It's amazing. At 9 a.m., we had one hand. At 10:30, we have one hand. Again, not going to embarrass my brother. I just want you to repeat this prayer loud enough that you can hear it. The chief sinner on the platform is going to lead the prayer. You pray this prayer out loud, loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. You pray this prayer right now. Pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. This is a day that I receive you as my Savior. I'm so thankful for your blood. You paid the great price for all of my many, many sins that I would be redeemed. This is the day I'm saved. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. To God be the glory. Come on. Amen, everybody. Yes, Lord. New Life at Living Faith Church. If you could, make sure that you take that connection card that's around you. Let us know that you received Christ today. Your next steps are critical. You need to be part of you need to be part of growing in faith. That happens at 9 a.m. Diana Reese is right there. She'll be at the table. Amen. I will be at the table. You can see us right there at the table. We'll give you information about growing in faith. 9 a.m. every Sunday. Be part of that today. Hey, can I show you a quick media video? I'm going to do that in a moment, but ushers, you should have some. Linda Ziegler is going to give you some cards, and would you show me the media? Let's stay locked in with me just for a few moments. We're going to worship God in a moment. Our giving. Let's watch this together. just for a second. Could we turn down the lights? Amen. Thank you guys for showing that for us. Now, here's where I'm going to come in right now. All the lights up real quick just for a little bit. Our ushers right now have three business cards like this with the True Life website on the back. Now, it's even found in your bulletin, your update today that had a scripted. So can I see that one more time? If you'll go up to somebody, a lost soul today or someone far away from God, they could be at the gas pump, they could be at HEB in line, Walmart, they could be your neighbor, and you invite them lovingly, and you just say something like this: I'd like to invite you to my church. And on the back is a website called truelife.org that you can go to, and it answers life's hard questions. Because on that website, which is also linked to our website, but truelife.org has it, it has questions about, well, I wonder about abortion, I wonder about heaven, I wonder about hell, and I have questions about that. Ever since I've done this, nobody says, no, I don't want that. But when I offer them the free card with the website on back, it's just like a catch. I don't know what it is. And you say, God bless you, and you leave them with the card. I want to know who can hand out three cards with me this week. I'll never ask you to do something that I won't do personally. My wife was at the first service. She raised her hand because she's an example with me today. And so I want to hand out three cards. We made a way that you would get three cards today. I don't need you to have 20 cards and they're winding up in your room or in your dashboard or whatever. Take three cards and then we're going to pray for them. Okay? Who'll get three cards right now? Would you lift your hands? Lift your hand. I want to know whose family. There you are. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. The rest of you are on my hit list that didn't raise your hand yet. Just take three cards. I'm just kidding. May 1,000 camel flies infest your armpits if you don't take notes. Just take three cards, and we're going to pray for them. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, guys. Thank you, usherettes. Amen. We have great people here. Keep your hand up. They'll bring them back. Did you run out? Keep your hand up. We have just three. Just give them three. Don't give them 20. Give them three. Thank you, guys. Keep your hands up until you get three. You want to be part of the blessing of God right now. Miracles. Yeah, miracles are happening right now. People that are far away from God right now are having hope because you have three. I just really believe that right now. Your three souls right now are waiting for you to get these three cards. My three souls are with me. Your three souls are with you. You have a different circle of influence. They'll come to you. Are we out? We out completely? Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Linda, you're a blessing. Thank you for doing this for us, helping us. Did you get three, everybody? You got three? Before we pray. The script, again, is right in front of you. It's easy to say. Practice a little bit. I finally got it right after the 20th time. And you just tell them about truelife.org. It answers life's hard questions today. Everybody ready? Let's lay your hand on them like this. Let's believe God right now. Father, these are three souls that I hold in my hand. And I'm going to invite, Lord. You've already ordained who they would be. And I pray with my brothers and sisters right now that they invite, Lord Jesus. Andrew told Peter, and Peter turned into the father of the first church. Just come and see. We just want people to come and see what God's doing at Living Faith Church. Thank you, Lord. We don't need more people just for more people. We want to touch more people for Jesus. We want more people here that are sinners, that they would be redeemed and hear the stories of faith, Lord. Bring that about in our church, Lord Jesus, that sinners fill our church up, Lord, today. Not more Christians, but sinners. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God. Touch these cards and use my brothers and sisters, Lord, as we hand these out this week. In Jesus' mighty name, all of God's children say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, take those with you. We have them ready. Amen. And as we finish up today, let's receive the tithe and offering today. I want to proclaim Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 over your lives today. I couldn't find my checkbook today. Oh, no. But you know I'm going to participate in giving by using my phone. And there's several ways to do that. You can go to 77977, text keyword living faith. We're able to secure that word. Do you know how many people would want that secure word of a living faith? But we got it because we were the first one on it. So it always is going to be a testament of what we're doing with our faith. Faith is dead without action. That's why it's called living faith. And our finances are the same way. We give, amen. It shows we're doing something with our faith. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Now, if there's nothing in your bank account, you can't give. Give me a good amen. If you're full of debt, you can't give. And that's, God wants to heal debt in this life. But God wants to bless you so much and take you out of debt that you're generous with your giving today. Amen. There are several ways to give. We also have a check debit machine out in the foyer if you brought that. But let me read that to you. And I think my phone's right here. There it is. So my giving is this way. And so the novice household, your household is giving that way. Lay your hand however you're giving today. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse so there is enough food for my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of hosts, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. And I will pour out such a blessing that you will not have enough room for it to be taken in. And Lord, I thank you right now that my son, my daughter, my grandchildren that are coming, Lord, they're going to be so blessed by my act right now. My crops will be abundant. You will guard them, Lord, according to your word, from the insect, from the disease. Your grapes will not fall to the vine until they are ripe today, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call the novice blessed. You can include your name right there. And the land will be such a delight, says the Lord of hosts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. To God be the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. If you're interested in reaching our community for Christ, for VBS, join me in the Student Center after we worship God with our giving. Amen. At the conclusion, when Chuck dismisses us, God bless you as you stand. We stand today. We give. Amen. We're generous people.
All right, guys. Some of y'all came in a little bit late. You missed the first.